That is what we need, isn't it? We want to share a little bit tonight about our ministry in Ukraine and then a little bit about what the Lord is doing right now. And of course, things are just changing daily as we receive updates both through text and calls that we receive and the news that we see. And even now, I was just looking through some texts that came through on a pastor's group, and it's hard for me to be here even this evening and your heart be here, your thoughts be here when you're reading what some are going through tonight in Ukraine. So I think all I need to do, guys, is hit this, turn it on, to switch the pictures. Do we know how to do that, Brother Rickard? This is, says Gregory Rickard on there. I'm not sure. You got to log me in there, brother, so we can... We'll get all his bank account information, all those millions he's got in his bank account. And then to switch it, what do I need to do to go? Just hit this button right here to go to the next one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, here you see Ukraine, for those of you that are geographically challenged this evening, all right? You can see Ukraine just north of the Black Sea. And you can see east of Ukraine there is Russia, and to the north, Belarusia. To the west, you have Poland and Slovakia. And that gives you an idea where Ukraine sits. You can see the capital city there, the star, Kiev. And notice how close that is to Belarusia. And that's where we had been, where we had lived, where we were doing a church plant called Living Hope Baptist Church. In general, Ukrainian people are very... I think joyous people. Now, Yana is an exception to that, all right? I'm sorry, Yana's not a good representative. Where are you, Yana? I don't see Yana out there tonight. Where is she? See, when she was in Ukraine, she was a front row Christian. We bring her here to America, and now her husband has corrupted her, and she's sitting back there in the back. We need to pray for revival, Yana. All right. But they are, truly. Ukrainian people are joyous people. Do I need to move this closer? Is that better? Is it on? Oh, it's not on. Okay. You got it muted. All right. Mute the pastor. Is that how we work here? Are we on now, guys? Good. Are we live? All right. Just really a gracious people. By the way, I'll share this. In music, when I've places I've been to in the world and traveled in the world, I think the Ukrainian churches have some of the best music and singing. And I think part of that is just part of who they are culturally, but then let them get saved and sing in their churches, and it is a real blessing to be in the Ukrainian churches and to hear their music. Go to the next one here. You see another Ukrainian babushka, right, Yana? And don't mess with the Ukrainian grandmas, all right? They are pretty tough women, and if you get in the subway there in Kiev, and they might look petite, they might look small, but their elbows are sharp, all right, when you're fighting for a subway spot. I don't know if you saw the picture of Babushka Svetlana with blondish hair. Did you see her? 76 years old, had a rifle, and was target practicing, saying she was going to protect Ukraine and fight for Ukraine. So that gives you an idea about Ukrainian babushkas. So look what your grandchildren, I can't wait to see Yana as a but first you got to be a mother, Yana, before you can become a babushka. We'll pray for that. Near where we live, there in the section of Kiev, we are kind of in the southwestern section of Kiev, and here you can see a Ukrainian Orthodox church. The Russian Orthodox and Ukrainian Orthodox Church, they used to be one church, but they officially split here a few years ago because of the war in 2014, both in Donbas and with Crimea being taken by Russia. Really, the differences were just purely that in their split. And doctrinally, what they teach would be a works-based salvation. You have to earn God's favor. You have to keep the commandments and kind of make yourself worthy of God. You can never know that you've done enough to be saved, because have you ever done enough to earn God's favor? So keep working at it, keep struggling with it and striving for it, and maybe one day you can have it, but you can never know for certain that you have it, so keep working at it. Boy, that doesn't sound like much hope, does it? Of course, we know that salvation is a gift of God that was finished at Calvary by the work of Christ, and it's salvation by grace through faith in Him. And so, so many need to hear that message, and we praise God for the opportunity to go and carry that message. Kiev, a very ancient city. There you can see a picture, the background. The entire area, greater metropolitan area of Kiev, is I think 4.5 million people, something like that. So it's quite large, a lot of souls there, a lot of people there. It's a very ancient city. In fact, there's a saying that Kiev is the mother of Moscow. And so Kiev is much older than Moscow. And it is a very fascinating city, a beautiful city, a city that Julie and I have come to love. And of course, for us, the great riches of Kiev are the people and the souls there. We began a work there in Southeast Kiev in our section, and it's called Living Hope Baptist Church. This was taken at our Christmas service that we had just recently. And it's been quite a challenge in starting the church there. We started it, and right after that, COVID came. And we had a long break. I forget how many months we had without any services, couldn't meet. Then we restarted again. Have you ever heard of a church plant restart? Well, we did a church plant restart. Then we had to stop again for some time. And then we had to restart again, the restart of the church plant. Anyway, this went on a few different times. But finally, by His grace, we were able to meet about 8 months in a row without a break. And we just rejoice in what God is doing and in the souls that God brought, that the Lord brought. We had our first service that we had on a Sunday was in Ukrainian and Russian languages. And then the second service was an English service. So we had two services on Sunday morning, and they were a blessing. Here are three ladies that attend our Russian Ukrainian services. The dear woman on the far right there, her name is Tatiana. And she was recently saved. She received three invitations to our church before she came for the first time. So the third time she received it, she said, okay, I will come. So don't give up inviting people, sharing the gospel. Tatiana received her third invitation before she came. She came and listened, and you could tell the Lord was speaking to her heart. And a few Sundays later, she prayed to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. Pray for her. She is the best I know right now. She is still in Kiev. And Kiev is, my understanding, is surrounded by Russia. And just pray for her protection and for God's grace in her life. And her husband, by the way, is lost. He did come to the Christmas service. Alexander is his name. Pray for his soul to be pricked, for his heart to be pricked, and for him to come to faith in Christ. Here you see a family that attends our English service. The one there to my left is Lily. She is Ukrainian, but to her left is Arslan. He is Pakistani, and God is just working in his life. He has just become very faithful. In fact, he was leading services on Sunday after I left. He's just one of these guys. He's heard. He's just charged. He's ready to serve God. He has told me, he says, Pastor, I want to take you with me to Pakistan, and we're going to go and we're going to preach just what you're preaching here. I said, you know, let me give you Pastor Rickard's number. Contact him. He would love to go preach with you there in Pakistan. He said, no, Pastor, really. He said, we'll be protected. We'll get government protection. Anyway, pray. But he's excited about God. That's the most important thing. They have now traveled. He wrote me yesterday. They were at the border to get over into Poland. And he said it was a 10-day wait to get through the border. So he drove down to Uzhgorod, which is on the other side of the Carpathians, still in Ukraine. And now he wrote me just this afternoon, they have gotten into Slovakia. And so I'm happy for their protection. But pray for them, how God is going to use them. I look forward to seeing the Lord's work in their lives. And here you see Arslan there in the middle. But then to his left is Shurish. And then you see three precious Indian young ladies, one or two of them there dressed in their traditional garment. And God has allowed where our church is, we're very close to the international student dormitory. And so the English service, really, we had many different nationalities that come. In fact, on this Sunday, Christmas service, we had Isaiah 9:6 said in nine different languages. So quite fascinating to hear. Here they sang a song together. I think they sang in the Urdu language. It's a Pakistani language. It's close to the Hindi language, which is spoken in India. But such a blessing to see God working. Here's a young man, very dear to Julie and I, and his name is Jack. He is Chinese, and Jack is still in Kiev. Pray for Jack and pray for his safety as he is there. God is working in his heart and life, and Jack preached here. I asked him to prepare to share something on the Christmas Eve. We had a candlelight service, and I asked Jack to share, and he actually prepared a message, had an outline, pastor, and everything, and preached that night. And one of the young ladies that was visiting that night, and she was actually from another church, she came and she shared that, hey, he can preach a little bit. I mean, so pray for Jack, and pray for God's work in his life. I don't know how God is going to use Jack, but Jack is surrendered to the Lord and to live for God and to serve him. I praise God for Jack. Here you see another photo. This is taken after one of our services. The young man who's right in front of me there holding a Bible, his name is Shirish. He is from India. When we gave him this Bible, this was the first time he had ever held a Bible in his hands. And he was Hindu and had just grown up there in India. In fact, I believe his dad taught the Hindi language. So they are very strongly Hindu. But by God's grace, Shirish came to faith in Christ, and we praise God for that and for God's work in his life. And he is now back in India. Many of our Indian students and international students are back home because of the war and what's taking place. But it's just amazing what God is doing and what God did. Here we have our Christmas Eve. Now we have two Christmases, all right? I know I mentioned Christmas Eve service just a second ago, but in Ukraine, it's really a wonderful place at Christmas. We celebrate Christmas December 25th, kind of the more Latin, Western Church, if you will, Christmas Day, the Catholic Church. But then also we celebrate on January 6th. Is that right, Yana? January 6th? 7th? All right. So this, I think, was the 24th, December 24th. We had an international student Christmas Eve party, and we had a Muslim there that evening. We had Hindus there that evening, and we had some of our own Christian folks there that evening. And guess what we got to do that evening? What is the purpose of Christmas, right? And guess what? Santa Claus wasn't included. We didn't mention Rudolph. We didn't sing any of those songs. Guess what songs we sang and who we spoke about that night? The Savior who came to the world, right? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we praise God. We called this our International Student Fellowship. And God gave us a good group of kids. By the way, let me just give you a warning. And I hope none of our Indian kids are watching, but don't allow the Indians to cook in your home, okay? It's a different world when they're cooking, but they were precious, all right? And when they came, some of the girls, they cooked a meal there for us. In fact, Shirish also helped, didn't he, when they cooked the Indian meal. And they're used to, I guess, cooking on the floor. Some were cooking down on, of course, they're shorter, so they can reach the floor a lot easier, but a blessing. And each one, very dear and precious. To us. In the summer, we were able to do some English camps. Now, these were English Bible camps, and we did one in Kiev. We did one in another area near Zhytomyr, Ukraine, and just using the English language as a tool, as an instrument to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a door to build fellowships and relationships to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And was really a tremendous tool, and I hope by God's grace we'll be able to return to that this summer. You know that our primary reason and purpose in going here was for the ministry of Slavic Baptist Institute. And the institute ministry there has struggled a little bit with COVID and canceling sessions and so forth, but we've still been able to hold sessions. Also the war in Donbass and the difficulty in crossing the border with Belarus has also been a little bit of a hindrance. But guess what? God is still working, and God is still training, teaching, and there are those that are still following the Lord Jesus Christ and want to know more about how to serve him. By the way, you took one of our brightest and best, Kenton. I had Kenton sign a pact. I told him, look, okay, Yana, if this is of God's will, then it's of God's will that you stay here. She does not leave Ukraine. He broke that promise, Brother Rickard. So we want her back, all right? And just sweet students like that who just want to serve the Lord with their lives. And we praise God for each and every one of our students. Here's a young man by name of Dima, and he's right now in Poland, and pray for him as they are, they've just gone there recently and got what God's will. Dima is looking for God's will and how to serve the Lord, and we have many such students that are seeking to serve God. Here you might be familiar, now this has changed, this picture, but I just wanted to speak for a moment to kind of give an update. You can see some of the different areas and places where Russian troops have come into Ukraine. And for us, what was a major difference is when the troops came into the Belarusian side to the west of the Dnieper River. You can see the river goes right through Kiev and goes all the way down to the Black Sea. When they came in to the west of the Dnieper, they were very close to the city of Kiev. In fact, my understanding today, I believe they were some weapons, nuclear or thermo, I forget the other one they have there, but that they're bringing over to that side. So pray for God's grace, pray for safety and protection in Ukraine. This is a subway, just to give you an idea of what people are going through there, if you can imagine, just finding a place on the floor to sleep, of safety, and have another photo of such. But this is somewhat of what the folks there are going through in Ukraine. And it's hard for you and I to understand this. And depending on what parts of Ukraine that you are in, but it is a very, very difficult time. But guess what churches are doing there? Churches are gathering every night to pray. Those that can meet are praying. And they're crying out to God for God's protection, for God's work, for God's grace in their lives. Many believers in Ukraine would be more on the pacifist side. And you know what? That can be convicting to me. I'm a little bit more of the type, maybe more like a David, let's pray and get my weapon and go to war. But listen, that's convicting for me because they're trusting God and they believe God can protect them. And I would say what you've seen so far is a little bit of a miracle in Ukraine. And I can't help but think that God is not answering their prayers. So continue to pray with the believers in Ukraine for God's safety and God's protection. There are many now that have been displaced from their homes and are refugees. And we are trying, I don't know if that one, it's not flipping to the next one. There we go. Buying what we can right now, products that we can buy. We just had some that were in the Carpathians. There was a group of orphan kids that were from the Donbas region, I think it was, right, babe? And they had gotten them out. They were staying at a place in the Carpathians, helping to feed them, trying to get them down through Hungary to get them out of the country. But we have others. We have a church in Khmelnytsky, and I think they took some from Kremenchuk that have come that direction and are staying there at the church in western Ukraine in Khmelnytsky. I know of some from Kharkiv that had come up into the Lutsk area and are staying there at a camp that's there. And so just looking for places to sleep, places to stay. Can you imagine the way they had to leave their homes? Have you seen at the train station those packing into trains trying to get away? It's not like you can bring even a suitcase with you, right, when you leave. So continue to pray. And pray with us as we, I think this is the orphan kids down in the Carpathians, as we pray about how God would want us to do at this point, and I don't know if I shared with Pastor or not. I know just in the last couple of days, right now it doesn't look like anytime soon I'm going to be able to return. I was hoping that this wasn't going to happen when we left. They still hadn't quite invaded when we left. But now that it's happened, I see three possible scenarios at this point. One would be that Putin forces his way all the way into Kiev and takes Mr. Zelensky and makes him resign in some way and does a regime change in Ukraine. I don't think the Ukrainian people are going to go for that, and I think that will be a long turmoil if that happens in Ukraine. There was an 84-year-old grand. I spoke about Svetlana, 76. There was an 84-year-old grandfather who went into the army and said he wanted to serve. He wanted to fight for the freedom of his grandchildren. And you just hear story after story of those that want freedom. So if he demands regime change, I think there'll be a lot of turmoil in Ukraine for some time. He might come in and he might just take it over and add it as a state of Russia and just call it part of Russia, almost like the Soviet empire was. If that happens, it'll be probably like it is today in Donbass or Crimea. I can't go to Donbass or Crimea, and it will be very difficult, I'm sure, to go into Ukraine again. But my hope and my prayer, and I hope you will and desire you and ask you to pray with me in this, is just for God to do a miracle and for the Russian soldiers and Mr. Putin, his heart is in the king's hand, right? The Lord has him, and the Lord can sway that heart to turn away, or that the consciences of the Russian soldiers would be enlivened by God. I think they know what they're doing is wrong. It was unprovoked. I think many of them know that it's wrong. I've even read some reports of them refusing to fight. Just pray that they would lay their arms down and go back home. And this would be the greatest thing that could happen to bring peace to Ukraine. So pray for the peace of Ukraine, and just pray for the country there in Ukraine and for God's grace in Ukraine. There are some good people there who love the Lord, who want to serve the Lord. I have some very dear friends there, family there. I know Yana has literally family there, but for Julie and I, we feel like we have family there as well, and just people that we love and we care about very deeply, and it's hard to be here. I didn't plan to come back, but I really felt like the Lord was calling me to come back, and it felt like that Saturday morning in my office that, Derek, if you don't go back, it'll be sin for you not to go back. And I don't know if this, what he has for me is to help raise funds here, but these next few months I'm going to be traveling. We're starting a program called Compassion for Ukraine, and we want to make a difference, and some making a difference, right, through these acts of compassion. And we're looking at different ways. First, we're going to begin with believers and how we can be a blessing to believers that are in distress. Listen, if things continue there, if there's greater artillery that is used there, the humanitarian crisis is going to be even greater than it is already, and it's already great. So let's make a difference. We'll start with believers, and then by God's grace, we'll move from them out to lost people. And guess what we're going to do when we show them acts of compassion? We're going to tell them about the God of compassion, right, who proved and manifest his love for them when he died on the cross of Calvary. And a pastor here a Sunday ago, I don't know that they were even able to meet today. They were under curfew today. But a week ago, Sunday, he wrote and said that he had 20 or 25 lost people in his service on a Sunday morning. And so it is amazing how God can even take something so terrible and so heinous and still use it for his glory. Amen? So pray for Ukraine. Pray for peace. Pray for God's glory. I have a dear pastor friend who writes, and he wrote to a group, and maybe even Yana read this. It was Pavlo Parfenuk. But he shared to the group, he said, listen, Christ told us in the end there will be wars and rumors of war. And this was before Russia had invaded. And he said, is this going to be a war or a rumor of war? I don't know. But Christ knows. And we're going to serve him through this. Amen. He's going to be faithful. And we're going to preach his gospel and proclaim him. So he's told us it's going to be this way. This shouldn't catch us by surprise. Now let's move forward for his glory. And wow, what that would do if we could catch a little bit of that spirit, right, and that heart, just to surrender our lives to live for his glory and for his praise. Let's turn over in our Bibles to the book of James. The book of James, and James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And we're going to look in verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17.
James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Read with me there in verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Father, bless tonight. Bless as we look into your word. Help us, Lord, to have an eternal focus and to live in light of eternity for your glory and for your praise. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just want to take a few minutes tonight and just note here as Paul is writing and as you read through this, no doubt the thought of the brevity of life, the shortness of our lives, and really even apart from Christ, the insignificance of a life apart from Christ. But he begins in verse number 13, and our passage does, and he is speaking here, I believe, to believers. And notice the spirit of which he is speaking to here in verse number 13, and the self-sufficiency of this spirit, the one who would say such a thing. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. It's not even considering what God wants, what the will of God is, what the purpose of God is, but really my intellect to decide, my will to decide what's best for me, right? What will bring me the greatest gain? What will make my life the easiest? That's what we're doing. I read someone here and they noted of this passage that this person chose his own time. He said today or tomorrow. He chose his own location. He said, we will go into such a city. He chose his own duration. He said, we'll continue there a year. He chose his own enterprise. He said, we'll buy and we'll sell. He chose his own objective or goal, he says, and get gain. You know, how many Christians today live such a self-sufficient life, right? We're not really seeking what God wants or what God desires or what would bring glory to God. We often make our decisions off what would be best for us. And I want to encourage you tonight that the time in which we're living and the days in which we're living, I don't know when the Lord is coming back. I just know this, it's getting sooner, right? I don't know that we're in the latter part of the last days or Christ will be here in a week or two. I hope he would be. I'd love him to come back in a week or two. But I know this, we're entering into those days, I believe. You're starting to see things come in line. And how many of us are living with our eyes upon the things which we can see and things that we can touch and not living for the true things that are eternal that can't be seen? They're seen by faith. They can't be touched. They'll be touched one day in glory. But truly living for eternity. This man, the one here that James is writing about, he seems to be a man who's really has a braggadocious spirit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this. I've got this plan, right? Look what he says as you skip down there to verse number 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Is evil. There's a pride issue and a pride problem. You know, as I... longer that I'm in the faith, the longer that I grow closer and walk with the Lord, grow closer to the Lord, do you know what sin the Lord shows me more and more? It is my pride. And I look back at some things in my life and I think, did I really act that way? Did I really think that way? Man, what kind of braggadocious person was I, right? To think such a thing, to act in such a way. Even this morning in my time with the Lord, as I was considering things, just the inadequacy of myself and how much I need the Lord in every aspect of my life. I can't make one decision on my own. I need His grace for every decision. I need His strength for every act. If it's going to bring glory to God, it better be by and through the Spirit of God working through me for His glory and for His praise, or it was not an eternal act. If I did it by my talent, if I did it in my own will and in my own strength, had nothing to do with God. You know, I wonder sometimes how many messages we hear, how many songs have been sung, all from the will and strength of man, nothing for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Go a little bit earlier in the passage here in chapter 4. Go up with me to verse number 6. He says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to whom? To the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." When was the last time you and I fell before the Lord as we awoke in the morning and we spent some time from his word and said, "Lord, I have to have you today. God, I'm going to work today. I must have your protection from my enemy, Satan. I must have your wisdom to see through his temptations. Oh God, I need you to put a guard on my mouth today, my tongue today, that I won't speak from my pride, that I won't say words that are mean and hateful to others, that the words I speak will honor you, will glorify you. Lord, I need a guard on my mouth today. Lord, I need you to help my eyes today, what I look at, what I see. God, protect me today as I see my mind, what I allow my mind to think about. Lord, the acts that I'm going to do at work today or in the kitchen today or with the children today, in my workplace today, whatever it may be, Lord, I must have you directing me and leading me today. I fall before you, God. I must have your grace." Amen. Look what it says in verse number 6. But he gives what? He giveth more grace. For whatever trial we face, for whatever work God gives before us, he's a God who gives more grace. But do you know his grace can be hindered? His grace can be held back when we're proud, when we don't ask for that grace, when we don't admit our need of such grace. The grace is held back. Why? Because of our pride. And James is saying here, humble yourselves. Fall before God. You don't want to do it by your strength. You don't want to do it by your talent. You don't want to do it by your intellect. You need the grace of God, and he's a God that giveth more grace. Amen. If there's ever been a time that we need more grace, my friends, it is today. As we come into the days that we're living and we see our country so quickly running away from God, and instituting laws that are against the Word of God. It's hard for me to imagine that the country that I grew up in as a boy is where it is today. But you know, I can't blame it on Satan that we are where we are today. Satan is part of the problem. I can't blame it on the lost world that why we are where we are today. The lost world is part of it, and they tempt us, but you know what? Really, we have to blame part of it today on where we are today because of believers, Christians. And because we're just not a people who are humbling ourselves before God and falling before God and crying out for the grace of God, admitting our need of God. He's a God that giveth more grace. And my friends, we need that grace today. You see, it's having a mindset that what is my life? My life is just a vapor. My life is empty. My life is nothing apart from Christ. Really, Christ is the only thing that gives my life meaning, that gives my life purpose. When I came to Christ and received Christ and began to live my Christian life, I still had very many personal goals that I wanted to obtain with my life. And most of them were financial. I will go, I will buy and sell, right? I had a plan for my life. And part of that was I wanted to have some money. I wanted to retire early in my life. But you know, obtaining those things still brought no true sense of peace or contentment in my soul. What did the Apostle Paul say over there in Colossians chapter 3 or 4? He said, "When Christ, who is our life..." I want to ask you a question. Is Christ your life? Is Christ the purpose of your life? See, the reason that you get up in the mornings See, the reason that you go through your day is your life consumed with Christ and for His glory. You see, I think so many times we as believers, we kind of take it and we make ourselves the central purposes of our lives, of our existence is us. Why did Christ came? Well, He came because He loved me. He came to die for me. And we want to almost make it, again, with us in the center of attention. It was for me that He came. I'm the reason He came and died. And yes, there is some truth in that. But ultimately, what was the true purpose that Christ came? For His glory. And my friend, the purpose of your existence is the glory of God. And there is no greater purpose of your existence on this earth than when your life is honoring and glorifying the One who is truly worthy of all glory and all honor. I had a note here from Jack, the young man that I showed you there a little bit ago. He's like a son to Julie and I. And He wrote me a few days ago. I wrote him and just said, Jack, do you want to, I was going to try to help him to get to Western Ukraine, to get to a place of safety. And he felt like God wanted him to stay. And he wrote me back a note here. He said, don't worry too much, sir. He always calls me sir in the Chinese kind of system of honor and respect for their elders. Brother Jerry, you do real well there with the Chinese, all right? We love older people, Brother Jerry. We really do, all right? But he said, go to sleep. Worry can't change anything. Do you ever have your people preach to you, Brother Rickard? Do you ever have that happen? I know your wife probably preaches to you sometimes, right? He says, worry can't change anything. If the war, this is before the invasion happened. He says, if the war happens, then it's God's will. God thinks that the war can benefit us, so He allowed it to be. What he's saying there, if God allows it to be, God has a plan, and it's His glory, and this is going to glorify Him. He says, if the war doesn't begin, that means God thinks the war in Ukraine is not good for us. So no matter what happens, it will benefit us. If God chose to take me away, he's saying, if I lose my life, if God chooses to take me away, then good for me. Just like what you shared in the service, if I am dead, don't cry, but celebrate, for I'm in heaven now. Here's a young man who is only 19 years old, but guess what he's focused on? The glory of Jesus Christ. Not my will be done, not where I want to be, not what's safest for me, but the place where God wants me to be that will most glorify Him. And I believe Jack is saying that is in Kiev, where God wants me to be. Now that's hard to understand, isn't it? And I just wonder sometimes how many of us, take Lot for example, when Lot has to separate there from Abraham, what does Lot do when he looks out there over the valley and he sees Sodom and Gomorrah and the green pastures that are there and the watered fields that are there? Does he ask God what God's will is, or does he just assume, well, that's going to be the best place for me, right? It's greener there, I can make more money there, that's obviously the place where God wants me to be. But do you ever find him asking God where God wants him to be? You see, all his life, Lot had traveled with Abraham. And Abraham had made decisions for Lot. And Abraham, we could say pretty much, was following the will of God and Lot with Abraham, as Abraham was kind of his spiritual leader. But now comes the time for Lot to make his own decisions. We know he was a saved man because Peter tells us that his soul was vexed every day that he lived there, right? He was a righteous man. He was a saved man. But he went through a lot of struggles because he did not follow the will of God for his life. He did what was best for him. He did what was most comfortable for him. But he didn't do what would most honor and glorify Christ, God. And I wonder in our lives how many times we make such decisions and we miss the greater grace. We miss seeing God do something in our life that we could not imagine that God would do. I have found times in my life where God has pushed me to these places or extremes, and I would not have known the presence of God, and I would not have known the grace of God to meet that need unless I had been in that condition and in that place. And I wonder in my own heart, how many times did I miss the greater grace because I chose what was easiest for me? We had another young lady, and She's a dear lady. Yana knows her, and she works with us very directly in ministry, and she's like a daughter to Julie and I. Her name is Albina. And we wrote her this morning and just asked how she was. And I find myself every morning when I get up, I come and I'm looking through text and I'm trying to find out, are you safe? Where are you? Are you okay? And she is in a city called Shipatifka. And she writes me this morning, hello, for now we are safe. We've had two services today. This was yesterday, their Sunday. We've had two services today. We can hear sirens very often, but God never gets tired of protecting us. He is especially good to us. Everything we do is praying, singing, and waiting for God's second coming. Amen. Man, that's living in light of eternity, is it not? That's living your life for a purpose. My friend, what is your life? Your life apart from Christ is just a vapor that's here and it's gone in a moment. But your life invested in Christ can glorify and honor the one who is truly worthy. I want to encourage you tonight, live your life in light of eternity. Say, God, my life is yours. God, whatever you want for me, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to go through, God, here is my life. I give it to you. Just let your glory be known in and through my life. I wonder what would happen tonight, even in this church this evening, with the good group that we have here tonight. What would happen tonight if the majority of us made that decision? How big of a difference could we make here in Ottawa, Kansas, right? What would happen in our workplaces, in our families, if Christians truly started living for the glory and honor of Christ, every decision based upon what is His will, every act being done by the grace of God as God is working through you, His Spirit working through you for the glory of Him. Did you know that I was a deacon in a church, even an assistant pastor in a church, and I really had not surrendered to the will of God in my life? Hard to believe. I thought I was surrendered. I mean, I'm sure I could have defended the position that I had, that I was surrendered to God. But you know what I found I was doing? I was surrendering to God with conditions. Guess what? That's not surrender. I gave God conditions for my service. And finally, when God broke me, and God showed me this in my life, and I fell before Him and said, okay, God, wherever you want and whatever you want, I just want to serve you. You are the meaning of my life. I find no contentment. I find no satisfaction in anything else but you, in serving you and surrender to you. I need more grace. I want my life to have a purpose and a meaning. And my friend, He's taken us many different places. And I can say to you in all honesty this evening, He's never forsaken us. And even if His will for me was to be tonight in Kiev, Ukraine, and you don't know how many times I've almost wished I was there with them, He's not going to leave us or forsake us. No matter what happens, He will be there to carry us all the way home to glory. We will meet there to sing His praise. And like my dear friend and son Jack said, celebrate. I'll be with my Lord. I'll be with Him in eternity to sing His praises. My friend, this life is short. Live it for the glory of Christ. Live it receiving more grace from a God who giveth more grace. Humble yourself. Fall upon Him. Live for the one who is worthy to be lived for. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this evening for Your goodness and for Your grace in our lives. God, I thank You that You're such a merciful and good God. Lord, thank You that though often even now, Lord, my heart is hard. And Lord, I think in my own intellect and by my own strength. Yet, Lord, I just want to thank You before these people this evening that You are a God that giveth more grace. And thank You for the opportunities You give to serve You. And Lord, I just pray that my heart and life, my wife Julie, that we would just be surrendered to whatever You have for us and wherever You have for us. Be with those believers tonight, oh God, in Ukraine. protect them and give them more grace, because you're such a God that giveth more grace. And we ask it for the glory of Christ and in his name. Amen.